And John's theory has always been to have it under the show.
As a bed.
Like throughout the entire show?
Like yes. Pharrell, remember yes. Pharrell used to do that? Where he would have rock music just under the show.
Is that Scott Pharrell shout
Scott Pharrell.
Out? I love Scott.
Yeah,
how Scott about
Pharrell.
That?
Yeah. It talk like this.
Yeah, he did.
Pharrell.
Chain
smoking Pharrell.
Guy had takes.
So, John, the music, I mean, we could go.
It makes me want to gaze off into the distance, doesn't it? Just well, gaze off. Gaze off.
So this is the last of the Mohicans. This is.
Devin, you got to see this movie. Tremendous.
Yeah, I don't think I've seen
it. Set in the French and Indian War. Which is okay.
Yeah,
also...
that's Devin, I haven't seen it either, and that's a no.
I tell you.
Imagine slow motion
makes me
running.
Ride a
Daniel,
right now.
Daniel Day
slow
Lewis. Motion running.
Daniel Day Lewis lived in a cabin. Daniel Day Lewis lived in a cabin for 3 years by himself to prepare for the role.
Of course.
Seriously.
Really
I wish did. You could yeah, see John's amazing. Eyes right now. That's His amazing. Eyes were wider than I've ever seen him.
Yeah. No, that's called crazy, Ruben. Yeah.
Oh, good point.
Prime Madeline Stowe.
Magnificent.
Fantastic.
Magnificent. I don't think that the music itself is so distracting that it would.
Well, I have a question.
John, take away from the show.
Why did James turn it off?
I don't
because
know.
I'm not playing it as a bed during our show.
Thank you, James.
Oh, wow. Sorry, producerial decision here.
Love it.
What was that word? Pursues what?
Producerial? I don't know if it's a word or not. That's I'm going with it.
It is good. Now, James.
That's so good. All right, Mike Quick joins us coming up in about 5 minutes. Let's go to the phones. Let's talk to Ed in Phoenixville. Ed, what's going on, dude?
Hey, good morning, team.
Hi, Ed.
Hey, John. Hey, Ruben.
Hey.
The last two times the Sixers were the focal point of the conversation, I was actually in a very good mood when I called in. Then I hear the Nick Nurse press conference, and it gets me, like, boiling mad. So I agree with you, Seltzer, a definite Richard Cranium type of response from Nick Nurse, But what really got me going on the first press conference when he was asked about the plan and he said the plan was, oh, he's not ready right now or whatever it may be. The whatever it may be was what like really, you know, you give me a spoonful of garbage and then you just admit it was, you know. I don't know.
He's not feeling this. Nick Nurse has never been vibing with whatever this is. That's clear.
By the way, I got to tell you, Ed, and I mean this as no disrespect to Nick Nurse, who I do think is a really good coach. And I do think there is a pretty good chance that nobody would be able to get through to Joel in the next 2 to 3 years when his athleticism should still be enough. You would hope, let's say, that you could win a title with him if he can, you know, be healthy enough. But the person, I swear to God, that I wish was the Sixers coach to get inside the brain of Joel Embiid, I would go to Dawn Staley. I've said it for a couple years now. She has won at every level that she has ever been involved in. Would there be a learning curve, of course, to learn the NBA game with the angles and the speed and the plays? Sure. But I would trust her.
She's been a winner at
everywhere.
Every stage.
Yep. Everywhere.
How in God's name could she get through to him?
I mean, she probably wouldn't, but my point is nobody's tougher.
That's the key.
Nobody's tougher, and I would trust her to try to get through to Joel more than anybody. I just would. And it probably wouldn't work, but that's who I would trust the most. She has won at every level, and part of why she wins is mental toughness.
So I have...
I'm just telling you, I agree with you. I know.
I don't think you can teach somebody mental toughness.
I know, but you get the point. If you're going to keep him, try to do the best you can to try to get him across the finish line.
It's still a trip going across the finish line. I mean, it's just at this point.
I know. Ed, go ahead, pal.
Yeah, and it's sort of a tangential point, but when I heard what Derrick Henry's routine is on a day-to-day basis with his diet and his obsession 24/7 is his body, is his fitness, is preparing himself for the grind of the NFL season. And it just makes me feel
envious. Joe, he eats one time a day. He eats like between 4 and 6. He spends $150,000 on a personal chef. Like his insanity commitment to his body is, I've never seen anything like it before.
And listen, Ed, we're clearly saying
that unusual. There are a lot of guys
Tom Brady was that way.
Athletes, yeah, and Ed, this is why we're seeing players play longer now than they used to.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
We know so much more
now. I mean, look at LeBron. Look at him. I mean, you know, Dr. J was declining, and I mean this as no disrespect to Doc, who I adore. In 83, when the Sixers won the title, he was 32, and he was clearly declining. He wasn't at the peak like 80 and, you know, late 70s. Like, that was 32. LeBron is 40. And I'm not saying LeBron's not declining. He is declining, but he's still playing at an immensely high level.
He looked amazing in the Olympics at times. You know, I don't get to see all his games because he's out in L.A., but I mean, it's ridiculous.
Yeah, and you know, my thing on Doc is he didn't have the nutrition back then. You didn't know as much about the, you know, the way to work out.
The problem is, Joel, his nutrition is like on par with 1981.
I know.
You know, that's not good. You need to bring that part, your fitness and nutrition and everything else up to speed with the modern day.
Who said, James, who was it last week? We aired the audio on our show where the guy said, when I played, our trainer, nutritionist, and equipment manager were all one.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
All the same guy.
Was it Jaws, maybe?
It used to be. It was for football.
I think it was from basketball, wasn't it?
Probably.
Was it Doc Rivers?
It used to be for football.
Oh, it might have been Doc. Yeah, yeah. Good call. It was Doc.
It was pregame. Yeah, he talks about that.
I've talked to guys.
Oh, my God.
Who long ago played in the NFL who said their plan for keeping weight on was they would buy a case of beer.
Well,
like, every day.
Listen.
Like, they would just.
You had the same thing in the minor leagues.
Beer was all those calories. Just drink a case. Like, start cracking it open as you're driving home. Now, this is like the 70s.
John, somebody told me that I know, told me he spent some time with Jordan somewhere in the 80s. And that was the plan one off season for Jordan to put on weight and muscle was to drink as much beer as he could. Michael Jordan.
Wow.
Michael Jordan. Hey, Ed, give me a great answer, a fictional lie or something misleading.
I won yesterday, so I'm going to do a Dick Hammer Yank job here. How about what the Duke brothers did to Winthorpe and Billy Ray?
That's
a great answer.
That could win. Did he say a Dick Hammer Yank job?
Yes, yanking the answers off the board, as you like to say. Yeah.
Do you have that audio of the Scottie Pippen?
I'm sure I do.
And the Tonto thing? That was one of the all-timers, because I had said an answer, and then I guess I said another answer. Ruben, have you ever heard this audio?
I don't think so.
It was... It sounded risque. It wasn't meant to be risque. We'll get to that. In the meantime, let's talk to Mike quick, because, of course, Mike joins us every... Oh, Seltzer's got the computer up. He's supposed to play Mike Quick's intro song. Oh, yeah!
I had it ready. I'm just trying to do two things at once.
Do you have the other audio, by the way, James?
I'm getting it, yes.
Getting there? Of course, James, Mike joins us every Wednesday.
Sponsored by BetParks Online Casino and Sportsbook. New users can score up to a $1,000 casino bonus in their first 24 hours. You must be 21 in Pennsylvania, New Jersey, or Michigan. Gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
And let's welcome the star wide receiver of the Eagles from the 1980s and over the last 20 or so years, a phenomenal announcer, along with Merrill in the booth, Mr. Mike Quick. Hey, Ben, Mike.
Hey, good morning, everybody. I'm great. How about you?
Who would have thought, Mike, in September, we get calls here on WIP today saying, NFC Championship game at a minimum, Mike!
Yeah, you know, it's from week to week. Next week it could be they're horrible. They're the worst team. You know, this thing just fluctuates. And, you know, whatever's recent, that's what we go with.
Yeah, we often do. Mike, they've obviously played more impressive football lately. What has impressed you the most since the bye week?
So I just think that they're starting to come together. I just think that it takes a while, and you know, I've said this in past weeks. It just takes time to put all of these things together. I think sometimes we forget, even guys like John and myself who actually played the game, we forget how hard it is and how much time it takes to coordinate all of the things that you need to coordinate for a play to simply be successful. And you've got guys on the other side that are trying to make sure that your plays are not successful, but the coordination is starting to come together with a lot of the things that they do. And I'm really thinking about how well they're playing defense and they're blitzing and all of the things that you want to see the defense do. But it just doesn't happen overnight. I think the time that they've put in now, in-game stuff, because practice is one thing, in-game is different. I think the time that they've had, is starting to shape this team, and we're starting to see what they really can be.
So let's talk about that. We're starting to see what this team can be. It's 8 weeks in. You know, this was the old midpoint of the season. How do you evaluate? Is everything where you expected it to be after 8 weeks, Mike?
I think when we look at this team, like what they did on Sunday, it's kind of what we wanted to see in week one. We were expecting to see in week one. It just doesn't happen that way. There's still growth to be had, I believe. But coaches are starting to understand players. Players are starting to understand their assignments and what's asked of them. And it's rounding into shape. That's the way I feel about it. And I've seen steady progression. I've seen progression, you know, along the way. And I think that's what you want to have. You don't want to have what we had last year. They win a bunch of games early in the season, and then they fall off a cliff.
Mm-hmm. Mike, do you think the defense is legit? And I'll frame it this way. Beating Burrow and Ja'Marr Chase is a great accomplishment. I don't know about beating the other nine guys that were out there. I mean, there's a couple that are good, but their line stunk. How do you evaluate the defense based on the Cincinnati victory by the Eagles?
I think you can only evaluate them based on who they're playing. And, you know, next week it's Jacksonville. And I guess if they tear Jacksonville apart, then you'll say, well, they didn't beat anybody.
We might. I might.
Joe will say that.
I might.
No, you will. but you can only judge them based on who they're playing. And they played, I thought, a really good football team because that quarterback is so good.
Yeah.
Now they're able to break down his protections and get to him and make things tough on him. But that is a really good quarterback, one of the better quarterbacks in our league.
How about that? So and now we're running under center. Jalen's talking about how he benefits from running under center. We as an offense benefit from running under center. Do you anticipate this continues to grow, Mike? Is this where our identity lies?
I know that this is a team with one of the best running backs in the game, one of the best offensive lines. So you really have to lean on that. And we're starting to see a lot more running of the football. And even in that game, John, early in the game, they didn't have a lot of success running the ball, but they committed to running the ball.
Yeah.
I think that just, you know, I think that tells you where we're going. It's not what I tell you. It's what you see me do. And when I see them doing that, then they don't have to tell me who they are. I see who they are because they're leading with their feet, not what they're saying.
Yeah, and they're taking it to the defense. Our defense, it feels like since the bye, has been reinvigorated also, but it feels like they're sort of the way is being led by youngsters. Have you seen anything like this in your experience, Mike, the youth spearheading a defensive resurgence?
I have it, and don't you love that?
It's amazing.
You know, these guys are first, second-year players, a lot of them, but they bring so much energy. They bring so much swag. They're celebrating one another's success, and that, to me, is where you start to build the type of chemistry that you want. These young guys, watch that play that BG made. You know, these young guys, they're going to give BG juice. These young guys, they're going to give Slade juice. They don't want to get left behind when these young guys are making plays, so it's going to give them the juice to start to make more plays themselves. And I love the way these guys are starting to celebrate one another.
Yeah, it's good. You know, Mike, I'm thinking back as John's asking you about young players on defense. So in 88, you dealt with, obviously, in practice, a rookie in Eric Allen, who I believe...
I played with Eric.
Yeah.
Too.
In all due respect to Troy and Bobby T and Sheldon and Leto and any number of other Darius Slay, good corners Eagles have had, I think Eric Allen's the best cornerback in the last 40 years for the Eagles. How do you compare and contrast a young rookie Eric Allen with a young rookie Quinyon Mitchell?
Yeah, that's a good one. There were not many better than Eric Allen to me, and I had to line up against him, and it was kind of getting to the end of my career. And he helped me to realize that it's time for me to do something else.
Wow. You got size on him, though, Mike.
He was that good.
You got a lot more size, and I would imagine like you could use that to your advantage, right?
Yeah, I was bigger than most cornerbacks, D-backs, but still. When Eric came to Philadelphia, and boy, he was such a stud. Not only could he cover, but he was physical. You know, he would get downhill and make tackles. He was just an all-around, one of the best corners I've ever dealt with. And in practice, it wasn't fun dealing with him.
I'm sure. So Isaiah Rodgers came into this this game against the Bengals, made a huge play. We're not sure Slay's situation with the soft tissue. What do you expect from Isaiah Rodgers? How hard is it to stay ready? How much do you trust him if he has to stay ready for an extended period of time?
So I just think that Rodgers has been just chomping, waiting for his opportunity to get in the game and show that he can play. And he can. He's really good. His speed is special.
Great.
As a technician, he knows what he's doing technique-wise. You know, that was really a textbook type of play that he made on the tip ball to Gardner Johnson. I think he's just like all of these corners. The Eagles are stacked at that position. Because you can go deep at that position, and there's not going to be a big drop-off. They've got a lot of young guys that are really talented that can come in if Slay can't play and play that position. That is an area where they're strong, and I think they'll be strong for a long time. It's the now as well as the future. They're good at that position.
Hey, Mike, let's talk about, you know, this game on Sunday. It's an interesting reality that it's against Doug Peterson, who we all care a ton about. Have you had a chance yet this week? Will you reach out to him? What's the flow? What's the frequency of you and Doug with him down there? And do you make a point to try to connect with him before this one?
Yeah, we text every now and then. We keep in touch. I thought about that. Good question. I thought about that the other day. Should I text him and tease him, or should I just let it go and wait and speak to him on Sunday? I think I'm going to let it go this week because they're just not in a good place.
Yeah.
And I don't want to rub anything into where they are. So I'd rather just wait and say hello when I see him and exchange pleasantries then.
So someone on the show yesterday, I forget who, it might have been John, someone said the Eagles should still put a video tribute up, but do it in the first commercial break when the Jags are about to have the ball on offense and have Doug have to salute the crowd as they salute him and distract him during the game.
Is that Elliot, maybe?
It might have been.
Might have been Elliot.
What do you say, Mike? Make it a big, long, extended thing, and he's not able to talk to Trevor Lawrence.
Keep his eyes off the play sheet.
That's just wrong. Who thinks like that?
Hey,
that is messed up.
Competitor. Buddy Ryan would have done it. Buddy was pulling out all the tricks to try to gain an advantage. Hey, Mike, stay well, my man. We'll listen to you on Sunday. Merrill and Mike in the booth. Thanks, Mike.
All right, guys.
Thank you, Mike.
All right, there he is. Mike Quick, as he is every Wednesday at this time. Remember, the various interviews you hear on our show, Mike today, Ross today, Sheil Kapadia today, Nick Sirianni yesterday. These audios, these interviews are all stored on the Odyssey app. And so we strongly encourage you to get that app. You can go everywhere with it. You can listen to it anywhere in the world. And of course, and that involves, you know, summertime, down the shore, stuff like that, if you're a little bit out of range of our normal signal. But it also means not only live, you can listen to the interviews after they happen. So if you miss the interviews like Jaws yesterday, boom, you pull it up, Jaws, there it is, nice and simple, and anytime, 24/7, it's right there for you. Now, Seltzer, you have your own form of audio.
Yes.
And it's the various things that have happened on our show.
The vault, as it were, yes.
Boy, it's a scary thing sometimes. You got Devin today talking about bestiality.
Oh, yeah, that was me. All me. Yeah. Not Joe to camera at all.
If you know this, yeah. Circling back, though.
In a court of law, she just...
That was what was strange.
Cyclical. Devin, in a court of law, you just admitted it.
No, I didn't.
If you're going to do sarcasm, you got to say, what I'm about to say is sarcasm. If you were in front of a judge, the judge would say guilty.
That's not how sarcasm works.
You just said, oh, yeah, it was me. I did it.
You don't have to announce that you're being sarcastic before you use sarcasm. For the record.
On paper, though.
I was set up to fail here. Joe mentioned bestiality at like 6:02 a.m. this morning.
But who's bringing it up?
Yeah,
again?
I mean, you're
again.
All right, let's go
digging that hole.
Let's go from that to a ridiculous moment. James, you said it's about 5 years ago.
Yeah, somewhere in that range. That sounds about right.
All right, so we often ask a question. You know, like in today, we're saying, you know, like Ruben, give me a great fictional lie from the world of fiction. What's a good one? Because the best answer by the audience is going to win a $100 gift card.
Sixth Sense.
What's the lie?
Well, that, I think the director or producer was, was the liar.
Yeah. I gotcha. Yeah. Okay, deception of the audience by way of not. Yeah, that's
interesting. I have another one, though.
I got one. Sid Finch. The Sid Finch story.
I don't know. What is that?
It's a Sports Illustrated article about the guy from the Mets, the pitcher who was supposed to be, you know, like this mountain man who was threw 160 miles an hour.
I have heard
like
that. I don't know much.
And
but
it was all fake, right?
Yeah. You guys are too young. Way too young.
Sid Finch supposedly threw 160 miles.
I don't know. 150 miles. It wasn't real. But he was supposed to be like 6'10", and he threw 120 miles an hour or something like that.
That is fascinating.
All right. So on a daily basis, we asked you some kind of question. So years ago, we asked whatever the question was.
I think clearly it's some sidekick or number two, based on what you say here. Yes.
And I referenced that I had already said things, but the way I state this, let's roll the videotape.
Congratulations.
Hey.
Wow.
Yeah. Well, that's to tell you. So,
what a versatility.
It's just such a mixed bag.
Yes.
I know.
Of yanking.
James, can I use the videotape? Because I like that. You'd hear that for your... Like, let's go to the videotape. Sure. Can I use that on radio?
I mean, why not?
I mean, it's, you know... Who was that? Warner Wolf back in the day. Remember that?
No, I don't remember that.
Yeah, Warner Wolf.
What is Warner Wolf?
He was a great broadcaster. Warner Wolf.
The great Warner Wolf.
John, do you know about George Michael? Not that George Michael?
Yeah, the sports machine.
Oh, the sports machine.
Oh, yeah.
Sure.
The sports.
Oh, yeah.
It's like, sure.
No.
George Michael and the sports machine. That was a great show, man.
It really was. It was like one of the original ones.
It really was.
It was pretty cool.
Because we didn't have much back then. You didn't have this 24/7 thing and... Mm. And the internet and Twitter.
I had George Michael on MTV.
Yeah, but
I didn't
through
have
Philly.
George Michael.
Yeah, through Philadelphia.
Yeah, I didn't have that. Was that on 17?
10. Was it on channel 10?
I don't know.
NBC 10, I think.
That thing would just pop up somewhere. I don't know. I think we all look forward to when the Sixers have a new owner and that change happens. But that could be years
from now.
When does
that happen? Likelihood of that
next,
occurring.
Next decade.
After they get their stadium.
Yeah, not anytime soon.
Yeah, next decade.
If at all.
And they're really going to try to hang on to being good to try to get that stadium over the finish line. Because it's hard to get a stadium going when the town's not rallied
for
it.
You're winning 10 games?
Yeah. That's a tough thing to do, man.
No.
All right, so let's play the audio of Nick Nurse from a week ago and now the Nick Nurse audio from yesterday. Then we'll get right back to the phones because obviously notable what he said yesterday, but you got to know the context of last week as well. Sixers, of course, got fined as an organization $100,000 yesterday, not for Joel sitting out of games, but for how they publicly handled the situation with Joel. Going back, actually, to Daryl Morey comments as well from further back before the season. So here's Nick Nurse. This is last week. This is Devin asking the question, getting Nick Nurse in trouble. but now, look, doing her job, and the reality is Nick Nurse did not clearly handle it well. We know that. I think we all knew it then, but the league has come down and fined them because of it. Here's Nick Nurse last week.
Is the part of the plan not because he's still dealing with that injury or re-injured himself during the Olympics?
He did not re-injure himself. But the plan is we don't feel like he's quite ready, strong enough, light enough, whatever it is.
You know, if he did not re-injure himself, if it is the existing injury from last February or January, then he absolutely should not have played in the playoffs. I mean, in the Olympics.
Right.
Yeah, in the Olympics. Yeah. You know, like if it's as simple as he never actually recovered, like he gave it a go in late April, early May because the Sixers were in a playoff series. Okay, we get that. We respect that. You try. Sometimes you answer the bell. Sometimes you don't. We're not happy about it. But we get that it's the playoffs and you prioritize that. If he never actually truly recovered from that, he never should have been in the Olympics. Ever.
Yeah.
So it is possible
but
Nick Nurse did not.
He healthy in the Olympics, didn't he?
He looks sluggish.
He looks healthy, except when he totally stunk.
Yeah, Devin, I'd say it's similar to the playoffs. Like, there was a playoff game, he scored 50 points, and then there was other times he like, you could just tell.
Fell
it
flat.
Was, yeah.
Kerr
didn't
want to play him for in that one game.
Well,
he like,
didn't.
Sat him,
one game he
and
didn't
then
play
he sat
at
him,
all.
Yeah.
He got Tatumed one game.
He got Tatumed.
And then after being so effective in the semifinal game, he was horrendous in the gold medal game.
Yep.
Horrendous.
So I have a friend who has been covering the Raptors for like over a decade, and I asked her how Nick Nurse typically was. And she said, so that's it's interesting. She's keeping up with this Embiid situation. In Toronto, he was so transparent that it was borderline inappropriate in terms of coach-player relations. An example is he would be calling people out like players left and right. So I just think that tells you a lot in terms of his answers and caginess. It's clearly not his decision.
Well, a couple,
when it comes to Joel Embiid.
Couple things he may have learned from that, where maybe
he could have learned. Yeah.
Players may have gotten annoyed. It is possible that he just has. Like, the Philadelphia thing puts a different microscope than the Toronto basketball community. Yeah, I mean, let's be real, right?
But think about the experience in Toronto affects the way he conducts himself now. Like, those players probably upset with him for calling them out in Toronto. Now he's saying, you know what?
Maybe.
After that experience, there's no way I'm calling Joel out. Mm.
All right, James, let's see if you get this. I've talked about this before. I think you'll get it. See if you do. The most outrageous disclosure of information about a Philadelphia athlete after a game was what?
It happened about
15 to 18 years ago. Rhea, do you remember this?
Was it a catcher?
The Flyers announced something about a player.
Oh, yeah. It was the downstairs action.
So you know how they now say upper body injury, lower body injury? So in a playoff game, after the you knew this guy was, you could tell.
Was that when he got hit in a certain spot?
The Flyers announced, and I'm not making this up, they announced that the player, I forget the guy's name, poor kid, they announced that he had a, quote, ruptured testicle.
Yeah. Mm.
Yeah.
Ruben, they announced that.
That's a lot of information.
He's out with a ruptured testicle.
Remember Bobby Hurley?
Transparency.
Remember Bobby
Hurley's? We all saw it. I mean, there was no hiding that. He had to go in and out, in and out, in and out, in and out of the national title game versus UNLV.
And in and out. You can relate.
That I can relate. but he had to keep coming back out there because he had to deal with Greg Anthony and a great UNLV team. They lost, 103-73. Poor guy had the runs. That was unbelievable.
How do you remember that score?
I think that was the score.
That's insane.
And I was rooting so hard for UNLV.
I loved UNLV.
I've always hated Duke, but that team was wild.
Yeah, Seltzer, I might need you to look up if it was actually 103-73. In the meantime, let's play a piece of audio, though, from Nick Nurse yesterday, because yesterday he talked, and not good on a lot of levels. Here's the exchange. So there have been a couple things earlier, but here's where Nick Nurse is like, I'm done with this, and it's not appropriate to be done with this.
With Joel's plan,
I'm not going to answer. Go ahead. Anybody else got anything? They've given you the updates on that, right? They've given you the updates on Joel. Go ahead.
Let me just say, there's so much to say, but I'm going to say this. I really hope pregame tonight, there is not one question from any media member about,
so how are you going to handle the pick and roll?
Because, you know, that happens sometimes. And
What about the fact that Daryl Morey needs to help?
Yeah, Morey better show up tonight.
He won't.
No, of course he won't.
He won't show up.
Well, how do you factor that in? I mean, Daryl Morey does owe it to some degree to try to rescue.
Look, of course he does. Here's my prediction. Nick Nurse gets asked about it today and tonight, and he gives a better answer, and it might even start with the word look. Look is always a word that's a pivot from, all right, I screwed up. Look.
Mm.
I know what you guys are saying here.
Listen. Maybe I screwed up.
Right? Yeah. And so we're working on trying to get the big guy back. You know, and there is a way. I mean, Ruben, you've been through it. You know it's delicate. But
word salading?
But you, right. Right, exactly. But you know, while it's hard, it doesn't have to be this complicated. I mean, come on.
Yeah, there's so much more behind the curtain here, and at some point it's all going to be out there. So why not just get it out there and let it happen? Because I think that you're not building a whole lot of trust between the fan base, which is the most important thing, the fan base and the organization. That's really important.
I wonder, and I think we are right to wonder and speculate because of the lack of information. I really wonder if they're contemplating surgery for Embiid. And they may not know.
Maybe.
Like, they may not know if he's going to have surgery, but they might be testing him in these practices to say, we got to assess whether the big guy needs surgery or not.
But the way they're handling this thing, I mean, you can start thinking about all types of things.
Of course you can.
And that's not really where you want to be as an organization.
Yeah. All right, let's get some calls in here. Let's talk to Ken and Cinnaminson. Ken, good morning.
Good morning, friends. How are you today?
Doing well, Ken.
First of all, I got to tell you guys, I hate that Last of the Mohicans movie. I just absolutely hate it.
Are you serious?
Come on, man.
Well, it was one of my favorite books growing up. It was written right here in Burlington City, New Jersey. James Fenimore Cooper lived in Burlington City, New Jersey. Huh. And the book was a great book, and it was absolutely not a love story. So for it to, you know, become this love story,
sure,
that became on the, it was
I got to tell you, Ken, when he says to her, when he says, I will find you,
through. He went an abomination, Ken went.
No, there's few lines in movie history that have fired me up more than Daniel Day-Lewis telling Mike Madeline Stowe, I will find you.
Fired up? It fires you up?
James, it's true love. It's true love.
I wouldn't say it fires me up.
No, because it's the romantic in me. It's true love.
Very powerful.
Yeah, I get fired up.
This guy's going to go through the British Empire to find the love of his life.
Fired up.
Yes.
Yeah, let's go.
James doesn't believe in true love.
And it's got the bed playing the whole time.
I love my true love. I'm good.
Ken, what do you got on the sports scene?
The boat.
James Fenimore Cooper would have hated it. That's all I'm saying. So, first of all, on the Sixers, real quick, before I get to the Eagles. Listen, this. My father once, when I was doing something repeatedly stupid over and over again and would listen to nobody, it took my father to hit me with the most profound words I've ever heard on this subject. Do you need to be hit in the face with a shovel? And that got my attention because it was somebody I respected the most in the world, and he laid it right there in front of me as bold as could be. Joel Embiid is the poster child for why the NBA cannot be taken seriously as a sports product, especially the regular season. And for people to act like this is coming out of nowhere – this is who they are. Like Maya Angelou once said, when somebody shows you who they are, believe them.
You know what really does, Ken, let me tell you something that really disappointed me. When the NBA got that $76 billion deal a couple months ago, and the reason is because I think a lot of us in America who know the way it used to be are on to the NBA nonsense, but I think there's a lot of people on the international side that didn't grow up with players playing 82 games because they weren't NBA fans in 1985.
No, all their money's coming.
And it's so much of it is coming from, you know, China got them Yao Ming got them China. They do this. They got all these guys. They got players from like, whatever, 50, 75 different countries. And good for them. But it's just aggravating to know. It's almost like we that know what it used to be here in America are kind of being left by the wayside as the owners just left away to the bank. And it really irritates me. It really, really, really does. All right, Ken, we got to move fast here. We got to get to the Times Yours. Give me a fictional lie or something misleading.
When Rick tells Ilsa that he's taking her to the airport with the letters of transit.
Wow. Yeah,
what a good answer, dude.
That is a big answer. Casablanca. Holy
mackerel. I just rewatched it. I told you. I rewatched it a couple weekends ago.
Did you love it?
It's a freaking masterpiece. Yes, I adored it.
John,
it's amazing.
I think it's the greatest movie ever made.
It's in the running.
I don't know about the greatest movie ever made.
It holds up.
It does.
It flies by. Like, it is great.
I've only watched it one time.
You should check it again.
Yeah.
You should.
It's been a long time. It's phenomenal, John. Yeah.
I do enjoy the first hour more
really
than
great.
The second hour, but it's really, really good. God, it's good. All right, Twitter poll question of the day brought to us today by Armin Chevrolet. Of course, with Armin Chevrolet, right now is October Breast Cancer Awareness Month, and at Armin Chevy, you'll be seeing pink all month long as they honor survivors and remember those that have passed away. We all hope for a cure. ArminChevy.com. The poll question, John, how do you think people voted today? Do you think the Eagles win a playoff game this year? Remember this. I never give you a hint, but I'm just going to say this. It's not a hint. It's just a fact. 2 weeks ago, we had, I don't know the number, but about 70% said the Eagles are not a good team. Like, we had a poll, are they a good team? Now today's question is, do they win a playoff game? John, how do you think people voted?
I think the fact that everyone wants us to win a playoff game helps this poll. So I'm going to say 77%.
75.
Nailed it.
The man is a machine. And with that, let's do what we do every day at this time.
The time is yours.
Can't wait.
Unlike everyone else, we actually check our voicemail. Tell us what you want to say. The time is yours.
Time's yours.
All right, time's yours, which is in a piece of paper here that I accidentally just crumpled up. Let me get to it. Time's yours is brought to us by...
You're a premature crumpler?
I am. Yeah.
I don't know another way to put that.
No, I know. It basically means you fold under pressure.
You did.
Hey, Time's Yours is brought to us by Xfinity Mobile, the sponsor of WIP's Xfinity Mobile Lounge. Xfinity Mobile customers now get exclusive access to Wi-Fi speeds up to a gig on the go. Funny that Ruben laughed there. A lot of experience from Ruben. And with that, let's hit it with Time's Yours.
Damn!
shrapnel. I caught a heavy piece of shrapnel right there.
That wasn't shrapnel. Even shrapnel. That was a dagger.
I apologize for that.
Put a tent on this circus. Joel's a joke. Sixers are a joke. The dude's got no heart. He's constantly injured, and you extend him, and you knew he was injured when you extended him. Are you kidding me? Or whatever the heck's going on here? I'm not going to play back-to-backs. Dude's a loser. I feel bad for Maxey and all this.
Well, I certainly feel bad for Maxey. No question. Mm.
The Sixers are a direct reflection of their ownership. All they care about is the bottom line, as if his hedge fund billions aren't enough. As opposed to the Phillies, John Middleton, also a billionaire who actually cares about winning a championship. Get rid of this owner. I hate him.
Yeah, I'm not a fan either, and I look forward to the day Josh Harris doesn't own the team.
What happens first? Joel Embiid plays a game this year, or Hurts has another turnover?
Oh, man. Oh,
wow.
What's the answer to that?
I don't even want to think about that. I hate
the answer that I believe.
Turnover.
I'll go Embiid.
Guys, I don't know. We'll see when he plays.
Hey, Joe, I hate to burst your bubble, but you have a better chance of winning the Masters than you do the presidency of the United States. Time's yours.
Not true. I have 0% chance to win
both.
The Masters.
We agree.
Zero.
To
win both.
And with that, time's yours. We shut it down.
The Time's Yours line. Leave Joe and John a message of your thoughts, compliments, and complaints. Call 215-238-4500.
So we had a lot of great answers today. The Casablanca answer was great. The Duke Brothers was great. But to me, the two that stand out, Wizard of Oz, the whole charade of the wizard, and Godfather 2. James, what was that deception in Godfather 2, the meeting?
With Tetsuo trying to kill Michael.
Yeah. Which do we go with here, guys?
I got the Oz.
Okay, Oz.
That
Oz versus Godfather.
I'll go
answer.
Godfather.
Okay, 1-1. Devin, what do you got?
Godfather.
Rhea?
Oz.
Okay, we're 2-2. John?
Oz.
Oh!
I'm going to go Oz as well.
Wow.
It's an incredible deception, and it basically is the whole
movie.
It's
the gist of it.
It's the gist of the whole movie. Yeah, I think that's right. Because otherwise, you won't be off to see The Wizard. Everyone, have a wonderful rest of the day. Joe and you are up next.